So I want to share a few words from today's Torah portion, words which I hope will inspire you, words which I hope will give you a sense of fulfillment in the difficult and the challenging days that we find ourselves. So Parshas Tzav, the new Torah portion for this week, begins with a continuation of the rules or the laws associated with the Korban Ola, with the ascent offering. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, to command mitzvah, he says, Zeis Teiras Ha'ela, this is the Torah, this is the teaching of the ascent offering. It's Al Mekda, atop the altar, Kol Halayla, all night. The Ur HaChaim says that the night that's being referred to here proverbially references the concept of Golus. And he says that the Mizbeach, the altar, represents, in addition to its literal meaning, the Yesurim, the pain and the travail, the difficulty, the challenges of Golos. And Kol HaLaila, meaning Kol Zman HaGolos, Shanim Shel HaLaila, the whole night, which really means the entirety of our exilic experience, which is metaphorized as night. It's not a secret that Elie Wiesel's first book is called Night. The night has been the way our sages referred to the darker and more difficult times that visited our people. So you have to keep the fire burning. You have to keep the Mizbeach aglow. And the question that I pose to all of you today is, how do we do that? How do we do it? It's difficult, it's challenging, it's uncomfortable. We're the lucky ones. There are people who never are gasping for breath. People who haven't had visitors in days. They can't breathe on their own. They feel their lungs are collapsing. Many people, unfortunately. Many, many, many. Yidden, Lahavdil, non-Yidden. Terrible, terrible disaster. Hoyle Sia. Many people have died. Families are mourning in private. These are awful, awful things that cannot be glossed over. And our heart has to go out for those who are suffering. And we're the lucky ones, because we only have maybe a little bit of illness, a little bit of weakness, a little bit of challenge. But we have a roof over our head, and Baruch Hashem, we're home, not in hospitals. Some of you have the good fortune of being healthy, Baruch Hashem, and you should continue to be healthy. We should all know of a refuah and of good health. Keep the fire burning all night. What does it mean? How do we do this? So I would like to suggest to you that there is a remarkable little lesson, an extraordinary teaching that shows up in the folds of these opening verses of Parshas Tzav that I believe can serve as an inspiration. I believe they can help us kindle that fire and illuminate the darkness that we may feel at this present time. So after talking to us about the fire that continues burning, the Torah immediately turns its attention to something called Haromas HaDeshen. On a daily basis, a Kohen had to be appointed to carry out a particular procedure, a procedure which is considered to be a part of the Avoda, of the official service in the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah says, "V'lova shachayin midoivad." The kohen will don his special linen tunic. U'michnesevad yilbash al b'sarei. He'll don his linen trousers. It has to be directly on his flesh. And after donning his tunic, he puts on his turban and his linen sash, and so attired, the Torah says, "V'heidim eshadeshen asher teichal ha'esh." That he uses a rake and he lifts out the innermost mass of the ashes which the fire had consumed during the daily or ongoing ascent offerings as well as the other offerings. And then we hear details in Rashi about what happens to other parts of the korban that may not have been consumed. This is a part of the avoda, this is a part of the service that had to take place on a daily basis in the Beis HaMikdash. And it wasn't only the ashes of the Mizbeach that the Kohen was instructed to deposit next to the south side of the Mizbeach, which is just on the east side of the ramp. Similarly, our sages tell us that the ashes of the inner altar, Mizbeach HaZov, and this daily removal and this deposit of the ashes is part of what we call the Avodas HaKorbanos, the Avodah, the service in the Beis HaMikdash. And it has to be performed by a Kohen who is wearing his priestly uniform. And this is despite the fact that there is a risk that the garments might become sullied by the ashes. But then again, there's always a risk when you're doing the work in the Beis HaMikdash that the beautiful clothing, the finery that comprised the uniform of the Kohen might become dirty. Whether it was slaughtering, receiving the blood of the Korban, putting it onto the Mizbeach. In other words, there's not even a question that this has to be done wearing what's called the proverbial Big Day Kahuna, the magnificent and special clothing which was to be used on a regular basis whenever a Kohen would do things in the Beis HaMikdash. Then something very curious happens. Very curious. In Pasuk Dalad, the Torah says, Ufashat es begodav. Now the Torah is telling the Kohen to get undressed. And like the Maharal of Prague points out, never does the Torah tell the Kohen to get undressed. He has to get dressed. It's like somebody is not dressed for the occasion. You say, dress up for the occasion. You should look the part. Well, it's obvious that if somebody's wearing the wrong clothes, they'd have to get undressed. But that doesn't have to be spoken of. When the bride yells to get dressed in her bridal finery, you don't have to give her instructions. By the way, take off the ordinary clothes, the sweats you're wearing, so that you can put on your beautiful bridal gown. It's self-understood. It's obvious. You're going to put on beautiful clothing. You have to remove whatever you're wearing so that you can actually put on the beautiful clothing. But here the Torah says, Ufashat es begodav. This is extremely unusual. Nowhere else in the Torah are we told on a regular day that the Kohen is instructed to remove his clothes. So he's instructed not only to wear special clothes, but he's instructed to remove his clothes. V'lavash begodav acherim. He puts on other clothes. V'heitzias hadas begodav. V'lavash begodav acherim. Take your clothes off. Wear a different set of clothes, a different kind of tunic, and you should remove the ashes. We just talked about removing the ashes but a moment ago. So our sages explain that since only the innermost mass of ashes was to be removed on a daily basis, the remaining ashes would eventually accumulate. They would accumulate to the point that they would impede the fire's ability to consume the offerings. You cannot endlessly simply burn the logs and the korbanos and expect the ashes to vanish into thin air. At a certain point, there's going to have to be some ash removal. So when this happens, a Kohen gets appointed to perform this ritual of removing the ashes, but not only does the Kohen receive instructions to take out that little innermost mass of ashes, but when the ashes become overwhelming, then the Kohen also has a bigger mission, a bigger job, if you will, and that is the removal of the ashes at large. Now, this occasional removal of ashes is not considered to be part of the avoda, part of the proverbial sacrificial rite. It's a perfunctory maintenance task. The priestly garments would have to be worn. However, here we're concerned that priestly garments worn might become sullied, because this is not the avoda. Avoda is something that happens like clockwork in the Beis HaMikdash. This is maintenance. Maintenance is not a sacrificial rite. And because of that, the Kohen is not technically required to first change out of his usual priestly garments. But, as Rashi will suggest to us, Ein zu chova, this is not obligatory. He doesn't have to change from those garments. Ela derech eretz. This is what we call, proverbially speaking, menschlichkeit. It's just proper etiquette. It would be the appropriate thing to first remove the usual priestly garments and then to put on other priestly garments of inferior quality. What are we talking about when we speak about these other priestly garments? So our rabbis tell us that you may have had priestly garments that had already been sullied and weren't really going to be used any longer. They were essentially waiting to be retired. So those garments would be used for this purpose. It's still big de kahuna, but they are no longer resplendent. They're no longer magnificent. They're no longer beautiful. They're clothing that was once beautiful. Something that was once magnificent. And that's the clothes, that's the garments, that's the uniform that the Kohen wears when he takes out these ashes, performing the perfunctory maintenance task. So Rashi says, this is derech eretz. This is just proper etiquette. To treat the avoda, the service in the Beis HaMikdash, with a sense of reverence. And part of that reverence is that you wear your finest clothing when you perform the rites that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Almighty God instructed us to. And here, when we're performing a perfunctory maintenance task, we don't wear the same clothes. Shalei yalach lech b'itzos hadeshen. Here we are concerned with those clothing being sullied. Habegodim shehu meshamish behem tamid. These would be the clothing that the Kohen would typically wear during the Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash, during the service in the Holy Temple. And here, Rashi brings a very interesting expression. It's an expression that's taken from our sages. And he says, habegodim, using metaphorical terms, clothing, raiments, a uniform, shebishul behem kedera l'rabbi, that's used in the kitchen, al yimzig behem kois l'rabbi. It's not the same kind of uniform, it's not the same attire you'd use to actually present the service. So you know, everybody has this image of the cook in gleaming whites. But really, behind closed doors, in the inferno of actually wearing such gleaming white clothes, the chefs are doing what has to be done. They're making sure that they're able to churn out masterpieces. And it isn't a pretty place. It's like Hell's Kitchen. There's yelling and screaming and it's intense. And there's expectation. But then when the waiters come out, the waiters are dressed to the nines. They're gleaming, maybe dressed in white. They're wearing their gloves. And everything is served in the most beautiful manner, as it should be. Now imagine if you were engaged in preparing food for and serving nobility, maybe the most powerful people in the world. A famous monarch. His or her clothing you wear inside the kitchen when you're preparing the masterpiece, it's not the clothing you're going to wear when you step outside the kitchen to proudly present that which you've prepared. And that's what Rashi says. The begodim shebishul behem kedera l'rabbi. The clothing that you wore to be able to cook or produce this masterpiece in the kitchen. Al yimzig behem kais l'rabbi. That's not the way you come and mix the drinks. Lakach, therefore, v'lov vash begodim achedim. And as the Maharal of Prague points out, the very fact that the Torah comes along and says, take your clothes off. Put on different clothes. Don't sully the original clothes, tells us that there's something unusual happening here. This is not part of the Avodah. Because if it's part of the Avodah, it's part of the right man that Hashem makes of us. So then we wear the regular clothes. That's what we're doing. We're fulfilling the will of the king. You fulfill the will of the king, you dress as the king wants you to dress. But here the Torah is not saying that. Here the Torah is telling you to take off the finery. Here the Torah is telling you to divest of your gleaming whites. And you wear clothing which are p'chusim hem, of an inferior quality. Older clothing. Clothing, like the Sifra says, which perhaps was used in the past and now is no longer in service for use in the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the upshot? What does this all mean to us about taking ashes off a Mizbeach and wearing one set of clothing or another set of clothing? How does it talk to me? How does it talk to us? How does it give us any kind of inspiration in our present reality? There's a beautiful sikha from the Rebbe where he points out that the Trumas HaDeshen and the Hitzos HaDeshen, the Trumas HaDeshen means taking that small bit of the mass of ashes from the innermost part of the fire, which is part of the Beis HaMikdash rite. And then the Hitzos HaDeshen, this perfunctory, menial removal of an abundance of ashes, are so different from one to the other that one is metaphorized as the things that go on behind closed doors in the kitchen, and the other is presented in the image of the gleaming waiters, cool, calm, and collected, not hot, sweaty, and dirty. In other words, it's like a range, one extreme to the other. So the Rebbe asks a simple question. So why is it? Practically speaking, the person who is in the kitchen, who is working in the heat, in the filth, in the grime, that's not the same person that comes out and serves the meal. You'd have to go first, take a shower. You don't just simply slip out of the dirty clothing and then a dirty person put on clean clothing. It actually doesn't add up. When you think about this, we should actually require two different people. There should be a cook in the kitchen, and there should be a waiter who serves. It's not just a change of clothing. It's a different person. This requires a major cleanup, a bath and then some. So why would we make it as if, oh yeah, same person, you just slip out of the dirty clothes and you put on those clean clothes and presto, you're now ready to present your masterpiece to the king. That's just not true. It just doesn't work like that at all. What is the pshat? How are we to understand this? And very interestingly, the Rebbe points out that the Gemara and Yoma and Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that the menial task can be performed by a Kohen who cannot perform the sacrificial rite in the Beis HaMikdash, because that would be a person who is a Balmum, who has a blemish, who is disqualified from serving in the Beis HaMikdash. And because he has some kind of disqualification that disables or disbars him from serving in the Beis HaMikdash during what we would call the sacrificial rite. So that's why we have one person doing the menial task and somebody else coming along and making the presentation. Why in heaven is Rashi presenting this as the same individual? In fact, the Torah seems very clearly to present it as the same individual. Rashi simply following the Pshutai Shel Mikra, the straightforward, what would seem simple. The Torah doesn't say, go find somebody else. The Torah seems to be addressing the very same person. Ufashat es begodov, the person removes his clothes. V'lavash begodim achedim, it's the same person. If it was a different person, you can call somebody else. You call them in from the dugout. They said, okay, now we're ready for somebody else, a new pitcher, a relief pitcher. You've done a beautiful job. You've done exactly what was asked of you. You performed the sacrificial rite, the avodah and the Beis HaMikdash to the T. Please sit out now. Now we're going to bring one of the heavy hitters. Now we're going to bring somebody who can get down and dirty to perform the menial task. And don't worry, you don't have to get undressed because he's already dressed for the occasion. The Torah says, makes a point of exceptionally, nowhere else in the Torah, when we speak about the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, does it come along and say, now I'm good undressed. The Torah comes along and says, Ufashat es begadav, remove that finery, the beautiful clothes, v'lavash begadav acherim, and you put other clothes, which indicates clothing that's characterized with inferiority. So the obvious question is gewalt. Why and how would the same person be expected to perform a sacrificial rite and something which is menial, something which is perfunctory, something which is essentially a maintenance task? And the Rebbe says that there is a meiridika, a wondrous, and I dare say it is a lesson that perhaps we all need to take very much to heart during these days. And the lesson, my friends, is this. Hashem gives us many mitzvahs, and we rightfully take pride in the mitzvahs that we perform. There are mitzvahs that fill us with a sense of self-worth. There are mitzvahs that fill us with a sense of joy. There are mitzvahs that give us a sense of prominence. Asher kedishonu, God commanded us. V'tzivanu, He sanctified us. He commanded us. He gave us the opportunity to do something special or exalted. The fact remains that oftentimes there are a lot of menial parts of life, and life is not always about fanfare. It's not always about the glory. It's not always about gleaming whites, and it's not always about things that you enjoy or necessarily take pride in. There are also things that have to be done. Some of them are called Hechsher Mitzvah. Some of them are called things that prepare us, get us ready to do the mitzvah. Some of them are, well, menial tasks. They have to be done. You can't live in squalor. At certain points, there's maintenance to be performed. But it doesn't feel like a mitzvah. It doesn't feel very impressive. It doesn't fill us with a sense of pride or a sense of joy. I am going to do this great big mitzvah. But the Rebbe says the Torah wants us to know that it's not two different people. There isn't somebody who performs big mitzvahs, important mitzvahs, powerful mitzvahs, prominent mitzvahs, and then there's the bridesmaid. And then there's the people who get stuck doing the backstage work, the things that don't have lights, camera, and action, the things that don't make you feel good, the things that don't fill you with a sense of prominence and importance, the things that are menial. It's the same person, says the Rebbe. It's all about the Ratzon Hashem. The very same person has to be ready to divest himself of his finery and get his hands dirty. Because in as much as there's the Asher Kedishonu b'mitzvoyso v'tzivonu, there's the sense of value and self-worth and self-esteem that we have in doing a mitzvah which is big, important, and prominent, and bold. There's this notion that it's the same God who asked us to do all the things. The menial things have to be done too. And if you're doing it because it's the right thing to do, if you're doing it because you know ultimately it's the will of Hashem, it's the same Kohen. You may have to dress down. Maybe you can't wear the same finery, but it's the same you. Because there's a perspective on all mitzvahs that's really unifying. And that's the perspective of to live with a sense of bittul, to live with a sense of humility, to live with a sense of commitment, to live with a sense of devotion, to live with a sense that I have to do what Hashem asks me to do, regardless of what it's going to be. And many of us are not wearing our finery. Many of us are used to wearing maybe suits and ties, and some of us have jobs of varying importance. And now we're stuck. We're quarantined. We're holed up. All of a sudden, we're homeschooling our children, and we're washing the dishes. All of a sudden, we're responsible for mopping the floor and changing diapers. And you think to yourself, this is not what it's about. But the Torah comes along in Parshas Tzav and says, well, actually, it is what it's about. I saw a funny meme on Facebook. Somebody said, night is the time you get out of your day pajamas to put on your sleeping pajamas. And maybe people are wearing pajamas by and large today. I personally try to put on a suit when I daven because it's just the right thing to do, I think, when you're standing before Hashem. But people have no reason to get dressed. People have no reason to dine their finery. They're stuck at home. And they're doing a lot of menial things. And the Torah wants us to know it doesn't matter. If this is what Hashem wants of us now, then that's just as important as a sacrificial rite. It's just as important as a korban. It just as haramas hadeshen was something that a kohen needed to wear finery for, and just as that was an aveid in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's just as that was something that had to be done with a sense of fervor and a sense of awe and a sense of commitment and a sense of devotion and a sense of awe at the magnificence and at the enormous responsibility and privilege of doing the will of Hashem. So it is also with taking out the ashes, taking out the proverbial garbage, whatever it takes, my dear friends. This is the circumstance that Eibishter put in this set of circumstances. None of us asked to have our health compromised. None of us asked to be in a situation where we literally fear, Rachmana Litzlan, for illness at every turn. None of us asked to be in the midst of a pandemic. Nobody wants this. But the Creator does for some strange reason that we may not, in fact, we cannot understand. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, Almighty God, in His infinite wisdom, has placed us in this awful situation. It's night. And our job is to keep the Esh HaMizbeach. Our job is to keep the fire burning. Our job is to be able to still have the same intensity and even joy, the same sense of satisfaction and even fulfillment, despite the fact that we're stuck with a lot of menial tasks that we all wish we didn't have to do. Ufashat esbegadav, you may have to change your clothes. You may have to roll your sleeves up. But it's all the Ratzon Hashem. We can only hope and pray that by doing our part, b'simcha with in every mitzvah, in every opportunity that comes our way, from the most menial task, if that's what Hashem asks of us now, that if we live with a sense of Yismach Yisrael Be'osav, that the Jewish people must rejoice in the tasks that lie before them. Pirush, the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, this means Shekol mi shehu mizera Yisrael, that if you have a privilege of being part of Am Yisrael, Yesh le l'smayach b'simchas Hashem, then you should find joy. How should I find joy? You should find joy b'simchas Hashem, in the joy of Hashem, asher sos v'sameach, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Master of the Universe, He finds joy in your Avodas Hashem. And if God finds joy in it, because that's what God asked us to do, because that's what's necessary now for us to continue to push forward to very soon, hopefully, end this dark and bitter night of Golus. And we hope and pray and yearn that very, very soon day will break and Mashiach is finally here. That if this is the Aveda that the Eibishter asks of us, then we should do it. And we should do it b'simcha, and we should do it with a sense of happiness under all circumstances and under any reality, in reward of our keeping the fire of our neshamas burning brightly and happily through the last dark hours and days of Golos. May we indeed merit, may we be zeicha, to finally welcome Mashiach and to see a world that's filled with healing and light and universal God consciousness. B'mheira u'b'yameinu amen.